Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. This is going to be an interesting conversation. Josh Hader, we're going to get into you here. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So, all of a sudden, Tink, now we very easily could have led with this. We elected to lead with the Kawhi Leonard trade to the Raptors. Mm-hmm. But now we could certainly dig into a name that, quite frankly, probably, I don't know, maybe I'm a little off on the number. I would say 80-plus percent of the sporting world in our country did not even know who he was last night.
I think more than that, BT. He's a good ball player.
He's got sick stuff, but yeah, he's not a closer.
You're right.
He doesn't play for a huge market, even though they're very good in Milwaukee, no doubt. And we have a great affiliate in Milwaukee. They're great.
It's not about that, yeah.
But it's largely anonymous. Yeah, I mean, right. He's just starting out. He's a specialist. Second year in the bigs here.
Make a big career like that.
Yep.
Javi Lopez did that for the Giants.
Yeah, your boy from Virginia, right? How much did he make? What did he bank?
I mean,
millions.
I'd have to look, but...
$30 million?
He played for like 16 years, man. He probably made more than that, to be honest with you.
He's like the modern Jesse Orosco. Pitch until you're 40-something and just come out and get one out.
Nobody has to know your name. Just got to get that out.
That's true. Josh Hader didn't play at a big school. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a first-round pick. He came out of high school, almost went to junior college. All right, so we've seen this before. And the reaction, you know, varies a little bit, I think, depending upon what was said and how old, or what was written and what was implied and how old you were when you wrote or what you implied. Let's hear from Josh Hader. This was a surreal scene. Gives up a 3-run bomb to cough up the lead. And then he goes into the dugout, and his phone's blowing up, and he walks into a world that there is no way he could have anticipated walking into when he was doffing his cap on the, I don't know if they were first or third baseline, I forgot, before the game last night. But here's Josh Hader on how suddenly things change and what he was tweeting and what he was thinking about.
You know, something that happened, I was 17 years old, and as a child, I was immature, and I obviously said something that was inexcusable. That doesn't reflect on who I am as a person today.
Right. Okay. I'm going to take him at his word. I try to do this. One difference, there's one word in there I got a real issue with.
Which is?
Child. You're not a child when you're 17.
No, of course not.
You know, Colton's a child. He's 3. My daughter, who's going to be 2 on Sunday, she's 2. She's almost 2.
Yeah.
She's a child.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a bunch of kids. Yeah. Some are children, some are not.
Look, if you're regurgitating something that you hear from something else and somebody else when you're a child.
Yeah.
That's forgivable. Mm-hmm. When you're 17 years old, you're an adult. You're a year away from being able to vote. You know what I mean? You're almost a grown man and very aware of what you're saying, what you're doing, and the impact that you're having on the things you say to people. Now, I don't know Josh Hader. Don't know where he grew up. I don't know, you know, what his ideals are, what his family situation was like, who were his influences. But writing things like KKK and, I hate gay people and other things that were worse.
I think white power was in there with a fist, right?
Even things, using the N-word, freely.
Yep.
It felt like it was, I don't know, Deep South, 1960s fodder.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 17-year-old 5 years ago. And think about where we were as a society 5 years ago. We had a black president. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To ignore the racial, issues in this country at 17, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And so while I'll forgive what he's saying, and he's probably saying it because he knows he has to, it's hard to look at him and say, yeah, I know he didn't mean it. This is not the Josh Allen situation who was quoting rap lyrics. And
some of his from last night were as well. But
the ones I was talking about were not.
Uh-huh.
And so how does this go forward? It's so different. Than the Josh Allen situation. And it's very similar, but very different. in a good way and a bad way. And so in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
it's 70% African American.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's walking into a locker room where if he's really racist,
yep.
it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Like a physical, obviously on the field issue. It's going to be a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he got it handled. Baseball's not, there's not a lot of blacks,
mm-hmm.
right? There's not a lot of minorities in the locker room.
And well, incredible Latin presence, for
a
sure.
Huge Latin credits, but I don't remember. I don't. None of the tweets were anti-Hispanic.
No, you know what I mean.
And so,
absolutely
and
not.
So, while there is some sympathy from across minority groups, I don't think it's predominant. You know what I mean? So you can see these guys, and if you're watching us on the network, you see guys just looking at it like, what in the hell? What?
Yeah.
And
he wrote what?
Yeah. It's
just look at their expression.
It's almost disbelief.
Yeah.
And you know how it goes forward because there isn't a huge minority, at least black minority presence in MLB locker rooms. This will probably fade faster than it should. It's basically what I'm thinking about.
Well, the one thing we know, he's not going to be suspended. Baseball no. came out and they said he's going to undergo sensitivity training and all that. I mean, that's an obvious starting point. Let's hear a little bit more from Hader. By the way, I know it's not spelled H-A-T-E-R, mm-hmm. but the way it sounds, doesn't
yeah, agreed.
Even the name, it just, I mean, that's not his fault, obviously,
no.
but just, that's almost unreal. I mean, when you throw in what he tweeted and then you say his name, it's crazy. That's uncanny. Here is Hader on whether or not he's going to talk to his teammates, how he'll address this. Go ahead, Josh.
Would you feel a need to address your teammates about this and explain to them?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, it's something that they shouldn't be involved in, you know. Being 17 years old, you know, you make stupid decisions and mistakes.
Okay, and obviously as we start to push this forward and get a sense of how it's going to play in the locker room, how it's going to play around baseball, Lorenzo Cain, who's on the Brewers, as mm-hmm. we know, former Royal, he chimed in on this. Interesting take. I thought it was very measured, and it seems if he's going to help or at least try to help Hader get past this. Here's Lorenzo Cain.
Just talked a little bit. I just was trying to understand the situation. So he was young. You know, we all say some crazy stuff when we're young. That's one reason why I don't have social media, because, you know, for things like this, you know, you always get in trouble for, you know, things you say when you're younger. So, like I said, we'll move on from it. You know, situation is what it is. I know Hader. You know, he's a great guy. And I know he's a great teammate. So, like I said, I'm fine. You know, everybody will be okay. We'll move on from this for sure.
All right. Listen, you can, and some people have, you can brush this off as, and you can lean on the old, well, he was a kid, and you got to give him the leniency to develop and to grow. There's no doubt about that to an extent. And I'm certainly not looking to destroy his life.
Mm-mm.
I'm not saying that the Brewers should suspend him. I'm not saying baseball should, even though they already said that they won't. You know, he's going to have to deal with the guys in the locker room, but it seems like Kane's going to obviously help extend that olive branch and facilitate the healing process, which is good because they're a good team. And the last thing you want to see is somebody who's in the middle of their success.
Yeah.
Either he implodes based on feeling uncomfortable, but more directly, the team implode because of his stupid tweets. But you have to separate these in the proper lumps. And I think that you lay it out well. Like, I don't want to paint such a broad stroke here, but I would guess, I could be wrong, but I can only deduce based on the KKK, mm-hmm. based on the white power, white fist, you can only guess that he's hanging around with people who probably talked like that a lot.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that, like
definitely.
Where he grew up.
There's no doubt about it.
You don't just grow up in a diverse community
and have friends that are black.
And freely put that out there.
Yeah, agreed.
You don't.
Yeah.
Now, you might think, hey, I'm white and I'm young and I've got the license to use these words because it's a rap song and it's music. And, you know, okay, that's something. I'll always take you off the hook on that. And I would say, stop doing it mm-hmm. because you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
But if you're 15 and you do that, you're 16, okay, I got you. It's a song. It's ingrained in your day-to-day stuff. This feels different. But yet, I don't have a different penalty for him, but
yeah.
I still acknowledge that it feels different to me.
Well, I think, I mean, the hard part about this, and it's society's not equal. Right, the repercussions for doing idiotic things like this is not equal, and a lot of it depends on the context of where you exist, right? If you're in a football locker room, and I keep bringing it back to this, where it's 70% African American, and some of those African Americans could be like me, grew up in Southwest Virginia, mm-hmm. I had three black people in my graduating class, right? I grew up around a bunch of white kids, mm-hmm. right? I go to University of Virginia. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But and so my locker room, it was me. But then there's a guy like Derek Ward, who grew up in L.A. Mm-hmm. and was in the hood, mm-hmm. and you know was you know not part of, but is so like around gangs mm-hmm. and like you know if he hears it, maybe I'll be measured mm-hmm. like Lorenzo Cain. And I'll think about it and say, well, I'll think about him as a person as I know him, how he's treated me. Someone else in a football locker room yep. has a completely different experience, maybe had, you know, some obviously racial insensitivities or crimes committed against them. And when they were young,
mm-hmm.
they're not forgiving him.
Mm-hmm.
But in a baseball locker room, because there are not a lot of blacks. I mean, how many blacks are on Milwaukee's team right now? I mean, maybe three or four?
Yeah, right? probably two or three, yeah.
Two, whatever it is.
A lot of Spanish players. A lot of good ones.
It's small,
yeah.
right? There's not going to be that.
What about opponents?
That's different. That's different because you're not going to see them.
And you don't know them.
Exactly.
And you can, at least if you're a brewer like Kane,
mm-hmm.
if you know him one way, it's right. easier to say, all right, this was a long time ago. This isn't the guy I know.
Yeah.
If you don't know him, and he throws up and in, or you just you're in the batter's box 60 feet, 6 inches away, and you're
yeah.
black?
Yeah.
You're looking at this guy. You might be. I probably would be, to be fair. Like, this guy kidding me? Throw yeah. one inside. I'm charging him out.
I tell you this story all the time about Kerry Collins. Everybody thought he was racist when yep. he came here. And I remember Ernie Accorsi saying, don't believe any of that you said. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. Just get to know him as he is. And we all did, and he was amazing. The farthest thing from a racist in the world. But that perception existed for him. Now, yeah. we didn't have tweets or anything like that, but that perception existed for him. He completely changed it by how he acted. So ultimately, what it's going to come down to are the steps that Josh Hader makes with his life going forward and not dwelling, or at least not being forced to dwell on those things that he did idiotically 5 years ago or however long ago. He's 23, right?
I think he's 24.
24, so almost 7 years ago. So don't... As long as he moves forward from this mm-hmm. and says the right things and doesn't run from it, I think it'll honestly, because it's in Major League Baseball locker room, it's going to go away quickly.
Yeah,
and it is what it is. It's not fair. He probably should be chastised more, but it's going to go away quickly.
Well, I think what's working for him is that we've gone through this before, and again, there's varying degrees of
good
tweets
point.
And indiscretion on social media for sure. And you brought up Josh Allen. That just felt different than what we read last night and this morning from Josh Hader. I mean, hey kids, I mean, one of these days it's going to go through your thick head here eventually that this social imprint that you leave for the rest of the world to decipher, when you put your life or your livelihood in the court of public opinion, good luck with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Good luck with that.
Because it's never going to end well.
Because you can't control
it. No, you can't.
You cannot control it. You know, it's, I mean, if this was the first time, like, I think it would be far more visceral. But we've had this conversation. I don't mean just you and I mean just the world, so yeah. to speak, or at least our country pertaining to Major League Baseball and race. We've been through this before. We're a little conditioned, I think, to at least those of us who are intelligent and open-minded, to kind of incorporate everything that really matters and not just look to grab a pitchfork and mm-hmm. light somebody on fire. But, you know, I would challenge you during a break, because I did this last night. I just typed in Josh Hader's name on the search bar on Twitter. Oof.
It's ugly.
I mean, his parents, think about this. His family was in the stadium his first All-Star game, right? And they're wearing Josh Hader uniforms. They actually brought them uniforms without the name Hader on mm-hmm. them, so they could still sit there and enjoy the game.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's
harassed.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it
overtook the stadium. It was. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Not like this.
Not social media directed. Right. I mean, usually, about it's something that happens on the field mm-hmm. or on the diamond or in the court, whatever it is.
Yeah, like if you're an opposing yeah. wife, or if you're, yeah. you know, they've talked about where I think it was Cliff Lee's wife who said. She was spat on
mm-hmm.
In Philly. I know Wayne Corbett's family went yep. through this. You know, obviously a more local guy, but Corbett, I love Corbett, one of my all-time favorites. He went through this, or his sister went through this at a game. I think it was Buffalo, but I don't want to impugn Buffalo if it wasn't them. But I think it was Buffalo. You know, this. Yeah, you're right. There's flare-ups that kind of enter the stands, but not like this.
No.
Not where you see two All-Stars looking at their phones saying, you see what this guy tweeted? That is surreal.
Yeah.
But it's part of our world. So you're right. Use this as a teachable moment again. And hopefully, he comports himself in a manner that will dismiss the notion that he is a bigot.
I'm telling you, MLB teams, NFL teams, NHL teams, all organizations in sports, and even college with their college athletes need to tell their players to wipe their Twitter and social media accounts as soon as they get to an organization. Wipe it. It doesn't matter. Everything that you wrote doesn't matter.
I hear you.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Even if it's something as innocuous as, like, you rip the team. Like, we've seen tweets where players get drafted.
It does you no good.
I know. Take shots at stars of players that they get, of the teams that they get drafted to. Now, that's just nonsense, and that's, you can have a laugh over that. But don't even run the risk. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Larry Nance Jr.
was getting on Kobe.
Yes, that's one that comes to mind
about,
for sure.
About the rape accusations in Colorado.
I thought he was going to have a real problem
and then
with that,
they were
by
teammates.
The way. Yeah. So, I thought Kobe was going to light him up over that. I really thought he was going to have an issue with that. All right, T, we got Clyde Drexler coming up next. The Hall of Famer, commissioner of the Big Three, talk some hoops, get into the Kawhi trade. Football at the 40s, you want to tweet us at Tiki and Tierney on the Josh Hader stuff or the trade with the Raptors and the Spurs. You could do that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during those summer months. Well, you know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten a battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. And you always, always want your car at its peak performance. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested for free. That's right. It's free of charge. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little scratch, a little money, switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. All right, we see you calling in to get into Josh Hader. I know you guys want to react to that. Sit tight, we'll get to you. We will get to you calls, I promise. We took a lot of NBA calls in the first hour on the trade between the Raps and the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard being rerouted to Canada. DeMar DeRozan now with Popovich. 3 years to go on his contract, so lots to do with it on the phones at 855-212-4227. But, we've had him on before. Just a class act, great player, sick hops back in the day. Original Dream Team member, by the way. Great collegiate player. Hall of Famer. I mean, what else do you say? Clyde Drexler. What up, Clyde? How are you today, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's happening? Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, man, you always sound so cheery. You always sound so happy. I love that about you, Clyde.
Hey, life is good.
That's right.
Hey, can't complain.
That's right.
Hey, how is season two of the Big Three going? And we've seen a couple of the games, had a couple of guys on. Kenyon Martin co-hosted for a couple of days when BT was out on vacation earlier this year. Talked to Al Harrington as well. How's it going so far, year two of the Big Three?
Well, it's going really good, guys. You know, second year, a lot of people know what to expect. We have four games and on a Friday night. They're all on FS1 or Big Fox, and the games are tremendously competitive. They're coached by Hall of Fame coaches, and some of the best NBA players to ever play the game are in the Big Three. And so the second year, everywhere we go, guys, big crowds, people enthusiastic, you know, they love the Big Three. They can't get enough.
You guys are down in Miami this weekend, right?
Yeah, we're in Miami, and I'm working on my tan right now.
I was going to say, how hard was it to pull these guys? I'm looking at some of these names, Stoudemire, Nate Robinson, Meta, Steven Jackson. I'm sure you were pulling these guys out of the club at like 3 in the morning to come play 3-on-3. Must have been a challenge for you, Kamish.
It's a big challenge. You know, Ice Cube and co-founder Jeff Quartness, those guys, when they started the Big Three, it was a great vision. They're visionaries. And the games are so competitive, guys want to compete in the Big Three. For instance, we had a combine in March for new talent, and we had like 90 ex-NBA players fighting for about 15 spots.
Wow.
And so there are a lot of disappointed guys. But it sends the message that if you want to play in the Big Three, you got to be ready to play and ready to win.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, spoken like a very in charge commissioner.
Sounds like you guys need to expand. You need expansion teams in the Big Three. You got these guys. You turn away superstar NBA players.
Yeah, but you know you got to be able to play because the captains of each team. There are eight teams in the Big Three.
Yeah,
and each team has a captain and two co-captains, and the captain picks the personnel. So he picks who he wants to play with. And if you win, if you're the champion, like Trilogy was last season, well, they have to keep their team intact. But the other teams have an opportunity to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So the captains and the co-captains stay, but the three draft pool players get thrown back into the draft, and they get to redo it. So that's how
that's
it goes. And we do need to expand, Tiki. It'll be time next season.
I hear
All
you.
Right, there
I
you
hear
go.
You.
Talking to Clyde Drexler with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio champ back in 95 with the Rockets and 16 years Hall of Fame career, dream team back in 92 with the just incredible crop. You had MJ, you had Bird, you had my boy Mullen, my boy Ewing. That was a great team. I don't know how late. I always ask you, how the hell was Leitner on that team? why was Leitner on that team?
He was the token college kid.
Leitner was a good college player. He was phenomenal.
No, I know he was. I know. You know, I want to ask your opinion on the news of the day with Kawhi Leonard here. And as I mentioned, some of the players from my generation, you're obviously a part of it. You know, even Patrick Ewing, one of my old time, you know, he wore different uniforms. He played for the Sonics. He played for the Magic. Barkley went from he played for a couple of teams, obviously Philly, and he went to the Suns, and he played for you guys in Houston. MJ played for two teams. Karl Malone was a Laker. So we've seen all-time icons bounce to different teams, but it's very rare, Clyde, that a great player in his prime has such a disconnect from a team that he won a championship with. And the Kawhi Leonard Spurs situation, I got to tell you, it's one of the stranger things that I've ever seen in the last 30 years in the NBA.
You make a good point, and no one can figure out what went wrong because Popovich, one of the better coaches, everyone loves Pop. He's a legend. And Kawhi Leonard, Popovich had – I mean, he basically tutored and Leonard learned under his tutelage to become an all-star, a superstar player. So it's rare that a guy who drafted you and who loves you, that is rare that that relationship goes sour, especially for a franchise like the Spurs and what Popovich has been able to bring to the table. So everyone's shocked by that, and we still are trying to find out what's the problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean – there's a lot of blame to go around. I think it was some mishandling of injuries and just miscommunication. Yeah, you know, Clyde, you were a player as long as you were, just like I was. What happens when a coach gets some of his veterans, like the Tony Parkers, the Manu Ginobilis, and say, I need you to get this guy in line, and it doesn't go as well as planned? Because I feel like that's part of it, right? A coach not being able to get through to a player, so you get the players to get through to the player, and it just completely backfires. That's what I feel like went on here.
That's what I think went on, Tiki, and that didn't go so well with Kawhi Leonard. He's a soft-spoken guy, but obviously he was injured, and the players didn't know the severity of his injury, and so they discounted his decision.
Yeah.
And that completely backfired, I believe. But I think now that the trade has been made and everyone's happy except DeRozan, who's not happy, but I think hopefully it'll work out for both franchises.
Hey, Clyde, you know, this wouldn't be a trade because he could just sign for the veteran minimum. Where do you stand on, and I know you probably want to balance this with respect for an all-time great scorer, but also realistically where he is. You played for the Rockets. You know the city of Houston well. You know what they have in terms of their talent now, the roster construction. I don't think Carmelo Anthony would add a whole lot to the Rockets. I've been saying that for 2 years. I think he's almost now I think he's really finished. Do you agree? I mean, if he went to Houston, would he help?
I tell you what, I'm a Carmelo fan and have been for many years because he can still put the ball in the basket. Now, is he the same guy that he was 5 years ago? I don't think any of us are. But for the most part, he's still able to contribute 20 points a game on the right situation. I think he could help any team, especially a team that won 65 games last year.
Yeah. I just have – I don't know why. And I said – go ahead, T.
Now, I was going to say, how do you balance that if you're Carmelo? Because he views himself one way. Clearly, he's not that way. And we all get older. I mean, when I got older, I just said, peace, I'm out. I'm not hanging on, right?
Yeah, Clyde hung on for another year, though. He's like, I'm going to get this NBA money.
Yeah, right? And so, like, how does he balance that? Because he's clearly changed. Like, his game is compromised a little bit, but he can still be valuable. But so much of that is acceptance, right? I think it happens to a lot of old guys. before they ultimately go to the big three?
I think it's up to the coaching staff to define roles. And when the coaching staff defines roles, the players don't have to say anything to other players.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's bad if the coach does not define roles and guys think they can do whatever they want to do and you start losing. And if you're the good player on the team, you're going, hey, guys, come on. We're trying to be efficient. We're trying to win. Some of the things we're doing are not geared toward us winning. So you have to maximize your talent. And a lot of that is defining roles.
Which it starts, though, with the player looking in the mirror and being able to redefine who he is, right?
Yeah, it really does. But for the most part, Tiki, you know this, players don't know when they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Why I tell them. That's why I do it for them.
They need to tune in.
Yeah, you're right. Clyde Drexler is with us here, the commissioner of the Big Three. You know, back in the day, it was obviously marketed well, but the NBA's changed so much where you got the super teams, although there were a couple back then. I think people kind of forget that conveniently. But it's now like this operation amongst the players to field these super teams. I don't know that it was quite I don't know that you guys did it quite like that. It kind of happened a little bit more organically. But also back then, if you were a star, you could still permeate, you know, the market and the landscape no matter where you played. And I want to ask about Portland and Damian Lillard. You get the sense, he's a great player. He's a great player. But you get the sense, couple of years, going to be 30. You know, I don't know how itchy he is getting to leave, so I don't know. But I would say this, can Portland ever be a destination to lure people there, prominent free agents, to help this guy win some games, some big games?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I was in Portland for 11 and a half seasons, and it is a wonderful place to play basketball because they love Blazer basketball, right?
Yep.
Now, Damian Lillard is a phenomenal player. I love watching him play. But if they don't get him some help, they take a chance on losing him because that guy, if you look at what the Pelicans did to him in the playoffs last season, they swept him. Obviously, they keyed on Damian Lillard, keyed on McCollum, and they let everybody else shoot. And they beat him easily. So they need some help. The backcourt is not enough for them to win in the playoffs. They've got to find a way to bring him some frontcourt help so that they can advance beyond the first round of the playoffs.
It's funny because now we talk about the modern NBA, for the most part, Clyde and Teague, positionless and a de-emphasis on the front court. But Portland's one of the few teams that we say they got to get more help in the front court.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Usually it's the opposite.
You're right.
Clyde, always a good time having you on the show. Basketball royalty, you're always welcome. You know that, buddy.
Yep. Clyde, Big Three.
Continue success. Love you guys. Thanks again.
Clyde, the Big Three is on the 20th at 8 p.m. on FS1 at American Airlines down in Miami. Good luck again this
big
year.
Big venue.
All right. Be there, be square.
There you go. He still seems youthful.
He does.
See, I don't remember him. You know what, Act? This is where the difference in our age comes into play. No, I mean, it's just... Do you remember watching him in college?
Oh, absolutely.
See, I don't think I ever saw him play a second
in college.
I
remember watching him dunk over Andre Turner.
Did you
in
really?
In the tournament. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He was a nasty dunker.
And that 83 championship, oh, I vividly remember that. Yeah. He had four fouls.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Terry Gannon, he's still upset with Terry because Terry saw him. He was the only man back, and he said, uh-oh. And he remembered the Andre Turner play. And Terry kind of, like, set his ground and kind of hugged him a little and kind of drew him in to try to draw the charge, and it worked because the ref was shielded by Terry's back. He didn't see it, so he called the offensive charge.
That's a good recall right there. So that's why we called him on the Ack. I knew he had a good answer there. And a boy, Ack! Let's get the update from Rich. Here he is. Football at the 40 is coming up after that. Rich!
Be sure to check out my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast, where each week I sit down with some stars in sports and entertainment. Don't forget, leave some comments and subscribe. Great news is a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Teague, sounds good, buddy. We'll do football at the 40s here in a sec. Next hour, Rob Manfred. Very interesting take on the game's best player, Mike Trout. And I'll certainly get into that. Machado, Dodgers, was kind of eased into the second half of the baseball season. We'll do Ask the Pros as well. And, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago, I laid it out. I think you were out Monday or you were out Tuesday? What's today?
Tuesday.
Today's Wednesday. So you were out Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Monday I gave the inclination that I'm leaning toward Tiger Woods. Today I made the bold proclamation that Tiger Woods will win.
Very definitive.
The Open Championship. Yep. I had to let this one, unlike when I picked Sergio to win the Masters.
Yeah, you waffled a little bit on that one because you were uncertain because he'd never won
a major. Mean, who's, you know, 15 years into his career, who's going to actually say with incredible confidence, oh, yeah, this is the time. He wasn't even playing good golf at that point.
Yeah, I hear you, right?
But I do think
Alex Smith is winning the Super Bowl this year.
Alex Smith. Oh, God. Boy. If there's, I mean, you'd almost bet anything against that, wouldn't you? You'd bet anything against
that. Just because you don't feel like he could make the play. The exceptional play.
He'll
make
the play. Around them. Forget about him.
I know, but I'm just saying, but also him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying he's not part of it.
Of course.
But if somebody said, hey, Teague, every penny in your portfolio, every dollar to your name, mm-hmm. you could lay it on the line right now for Alex Smith not to win the Super Bowl, would you take that bet?
With the Redskins?
And if he wins, you're penniless.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I would.
Really?
Yeah, he's not going to win.
Watch.
There's no doubt.
They're going to win.
No, they're not.
No, you're right.
They're not going to win at all.
But Tiger Woods.
Back to Tiger for a sec. I want to at least get to, because he's playing late tomorrow, so you and I will be on the air during the meat of his round. Obviously, with the Open Championship here on the East Coast, it's really going to be early, which is fine by me. But I want to tell you, not so much why I think he's going to win. Yeah, I guess that's part of it, but why he needs to win. Mm. So we still have a lot to do here on the show. Get us on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Get us on the horn as well, 855-212-4227. Football 40s. You ready?
Yep, let's get it.
Go!
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki. Video games, Madden, the cover, always interesting fodder. Players not happy with where they're rated. Only a couple of guys got the vaunted 99 rating. Now we get the cover of Madden. And in descending order, so from 2018 through 2015, we've had Tom Brady, we've had Gronk, we had Beckham back in 2016, Richard Sherman 2015. So Antonio Brown is on this year's cover. Let me ask you this. Did they get it right? I mean, should he be the guy?
Yeah. No, he's the man. You know
he
this.
Should definitely be the guy?
Who else would it be? I mean, because you think about the teams, the Eagles, the team that won the Super Bowl.
I hear you. You're not going to put Nick Foles on there.
No.
No, I got you.
I mean, even though you could. He's such an iconic little story that's going to last for a long time, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think Antonio Brown is the best offensive player in the NFL right now. Obviously, Todd Gurley won offensive MVP. Tom Brady won the MVP.
Yeah, but tired of Brady.
Yeah, agreed. Exactly. So I think this is about right. He fits with the young demographic of sports now. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect ambassador.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I was just trying to have a conversation, see if we missed anybody. I mean, Matt Ryan won the MVP a couple of years ago. Yeah. Not that good of a occasion a year ago.
You know what I mean? Think about who's playing video games.
Everybody.
I know. They want to be with They want to play with the cool guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know yeah. No doubt. No question.
I love Matt Ryan, but he's not that cool.
I'm going to give you a prediction. He's not that cool. Matty Ice wasn't that cool last year. No. Hopefully that relationship with Sarkisian is better this year. 20 touchdowns last year. I'm going to give you a prediction for next year's cover.
Go ahead.
First, give me one from you. Next year's cover.
Next year. Odell.
Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson next year. Okay, Le'Veon Bell very easily could have been on the cover this year.
Hopkins,
by the way, you like the? Oh, you can go with Hop. I'm going to stick with my guy. Okay. You like Deshaun Watson?
I do. That's
I noticed the head nod back in the studio.
D-Cell
was liking that one. So was Santer. Well, then I know it's bad.
I never agree with you on anything.
That's why you never write. All right, Le'Veon Bell. All right.
Yeah,
he could have been on the cover.
It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's going to. His agent confirms that the running back's going to skip training camp. He's going to play week one. Listen, I know that this isn't the best thing for the morale or the camaraderie of the Steelers necessarily, although I think most of the guys understand the business aspect that he's getting screwed. But I'll tell you what. Yeah, he's losing a few million dollars a year based on what he wanted versus what he's getting. But is it really the worst gig in the world not to show up to training camp and show up in week one and make $15 million?
No, you know, but guys usually do this, BT, when they're at the end of their career.
Strahan,
exactly. Right? They want to play one more year, but they don't want to put themselves through the rigors of training camp. They don't need to. Right? They're not young enough to have to bond with these young kids. They're old enough to have known what it takes to get physically ready and emotionally and mentally ready. And if it's not a new coach and it's not a new system, then the old heads don't really need it. This is going to be a little dicey to navigate because there's so much that needs to be bridged with Le'Veon Bell and the in the Steelers organization. But also, let's not forget, they have a new coordinator. Todd Haley's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, it's likely to be the same because their coordinator hire was in-house. He was a quarterback coach, and his name is slipping my mind right now. But it's not going to be drastically different, but it is going to be a little bit different.
Yep, Haley's with the Browns, in case people forgot that. That was a pretty good hire. I like Todd Haley hire for the Browns.
Because now Hugh has a layer of insulation from any failures that happen on offense.
Or, that's true. But even more directly, or maybe as important, I should say, if they fire Hugh Jackson, they could have somebody in-house if he's actually doing a pretty good job with the offense.
Todd Haley had a cup of coffee as a head coach in Kansas City.
That's right.
Didn't do great.
No, but he's been there.
Sometimes you learn.
He did that better than 1-31.
I agree.
The guy he's working for. And by the way, Bell's making $800,000 per game.
Wow, not bad. That doesn't suck.
Not bad. All right. Doesn't suck to be Jerry Jones or some other owners either. Dallas Cowboys named the most valuable team by Forbes magazine. Mm-hmm. This came out today. So the Cowboys are at $4.8 billion, which is a 14% increase from last year. So we round out the top five with three soccer teams: Manchester United, Real Madrid, and FC Barcelona, and the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Cowboys also top of the list in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be there because of how Jerry Jones sells the Cowboys brand and the Cowboys assets. The assets being the stadium, the practice facility, which is ridiculous, by the way. It looks like an indoor college facility, and the marketing that goes on all around that. He's just a master at it, and he's always been a master of it. Obviously, in European soccer, they have huge values because they're seating 200,000 people at any of these games,
mm-hmm.
and the merchandising is ridiculous. So this is a trend. It's going to keep being a trend just because Jerry Jones is a genius at what he does.
How about this? Even further to extrapolate the list here, you got the 50 most valuable teams right now in the rankings by Forbes. 29 are NFL teams. Yeah, business is terrible.
No, it's not.
They're hemorrhaging money.
Trust me, it's not.
You got eight NBA teams. The Knicks are actually higher than anybody, higher than the Lakers, higher than the Warriors, although the Warriors are obviously closing the gap.
Market.
Yeah, no doubt. And doesn't say how many baseball teams, but obviously you do the math there. 29-8, not a whole lot of room left. A couple of soccer teams on outside of the Yankees. Anybody else? Yankees, probably Dodgers. Is that it?
Red Sox,
I don't think the Red Sox are on that. I don't think.
Yeah, that, I mean, their market
is a small ballpark.
Yeah, agreed.
37,000 seats? I don't know. But if you want to make money, those are the teams that you might want to model your business model after. So Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim pleads guilty to the DUI, suspended 5 weeks. You were out yesterday. I got into this, obviously, but his BAC was not that far below Floyd when he was found. Did you see the numbers yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Mike, what was it? Was like
0.217 for Floyd,
yep.
0.193 for Keim.
Great job, Mike. Think about the difference. It's barely detectable, but now think about the difference in the way it was handled.
Yeah, no.
Now, part of it, I think Floyd was had a pass that was not, you know,
that
not
and,
a great
and that, and he was passed out at the wheel. I think the circumstances, and it was on video, whereas Keim was not. I mean, it's just a regular, you know, pullover. You get charged and you get suspended. I think this is about right. I think it's 5 weeks is a big is a long suspension in the NFL, and $200K. These guys aren't making $5 million.
Yeah, he's probably around one and a half, something like that.
If that. So, I mean, this is a big number to pay the piper here.
I got a question. When does the suspension start? And will he be able, let's face it, if you're the GM and you're suspended, can you really not have a role in the team? You just call up, I mean,
agreed.
Personnel stuff. Steve, see what Steve thinks.
Yeah, get a text message.
Yeah. I mean, he could still be involved in what's happening.
It's interesting. It's a good question because if it's the start of the season, it's less impactful than if it's right now.
Oh, roster cutdowns for sure.
No doubt.
You know what would have been amazing? If the Cardinals were on Hard Knocks this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the GMs are always visible.
You're right.
And if it did start now or coinciding with the start of camp, would he have been involved at all? I mean, I guess not. I mean, if they're true to their word, 5 weeks probably about right. But and the video, the visual evidence of that's kind of seared in our minds. That's a bad look. So I guess I'm okay with this, but that's a really dangerously high number.
Agreed.
Okay, I know you're interested in this as well. Aaron Rodgers looking into maybe structuring his next contract in a bit of an unorthodox manner. Now, it could work, it might not work. Basically, and I'll let you jump in here, but the short summation is maybe he has the ability to opt in and opt out, kind of like the recent NBA style.
Well, that's just one thing, BT.
Yep.
The opt-in, opt-out style is one thing he's talking about. The second thing not necessarily Aaron Rodgers is talking about, but it's being tied to his contract negotiations, is that he wants a percentage contract, which means I want 15 or 20% of the cap. Now, the problem with that is, you know, the cap starts flying up. All of a sudden, you're going to be paying Aaron Rodgers $40 million if he's got a if the cap goes up.
I would.
Or if the percentage of player revenues goes up because of the new collective bargaining agreement, and he has his contract that it's overly beneficial to him, mm-hmm. to the detriment not only of the organization but to his teammates.
Doesn't seem like he cares about winning a whole lot.
Teammates can't get paid.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing, and I just kind of alluded to it and mentioned it, the likelihood of getting this brand new, different, etc. type contract is very low because the CBA, as crazy as it seems, it's only 3 years away. Right, the new CBA, so they're not going to do anything that goes past 3 years, which kind of sucks for Aaron Rodgers.
All right, real quick, so no quarterback, I said this on Monday, came up, no quarterback since 2000 has had at least 15% of the cap and won the Super Bowl. Now, Aaron Rodgers obviously gifted enough to challenge that based on a skill set, but the point is, you know, if the quarterback gets all the loot, you don't have a whole lot around him. That's basically a 20-year run here. Yeah. So
there's
that's
that
good
one.
Evidence.
There's that one middle of the roster role player you just don't sign.
Yeah.
You don't know that guy makes the play.
Could be a nickel corner.
David Tyree.
You know? David Tyree.
Seriously.
David Tyree. He saved Eli Manning. Come on. That was pure luck.
We're a walk-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.